And these things have been written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you may have life because of him. You know, we always read this gospel every second Sunday of Easter, the week after Easter, called Divine Mercy Sunday. And we often have named this passage the Doubting Thomas. Poor Thomas gets such a bad rap. But here's one of the things that's always struck me about this particular gospel passage, is that Jesus is now risen from the dead, glorious over death, and he has wounds. Like why not have no wounds? Like I don't like. Is this what it's going to be like when we all get raised? We all have our wounds, our broken legs, and our bad hips, and we're all going to have the same old things we had when we were living. And it's always somewhat struck me as odd, but yet it's how they knew him. It was his identity. This was a crucified Lord. If he had come back without the crucifixion marks, then they wouldn't have recognized him. They would have said, well, you're not the real Jesus, because the Jesus we know got crucified on the cross. So it was an identity issue. That is how they came to know him. But here's what's important. These marks were healed marks. They were transformed marks. They weren't the oozing with blood. And Christ came back as the resurrected Christ, glorious and peaceful. And he offers them what he has received, which is love and mercy and peace. And so he passes this on to them. And of course, Thomas gives that awesome response, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. In other words, the testimony of faith that we're called to ourselves. But here's what's interesting. You see, so the healing comes through the cross, through the cross. But we have to be careful not to stop at the crucifixion, at the cross, at our wounds. But we have to allow the healing to take place beyond, because the last word that God has is not the crucifixion. God has the last word, and it is the resurrection. It is his divine mercy, the love that overcomes all wounds and all brokenness and all shortcomings. And so we're called to embrace that, and we're called to allow that to happen in our lives. The temptation is that when we're wounded, which all of us are in some way, shape, or form, right? We all have shortcomings. We all have something that we've dealt with. Sometimes it's smaller, like something that's happened recently that may be an argument between friends or family, or maybe something more, you know, deeper, a illness or a sickness that we're dealing with ourselves or a loved one, or it could be something more profound. A betrayal in a relationship, whether a domestic relationship or one at work where we're no longer valued for who we are and we feel betrayed. Or we could have lost a loved one and the wound is deep and it hurts. And the temptation is to stay with the wound, is to stay there. But you see, Christ is calling us beyond the wounds, to life beyond the wound. He's calling us to the resurrected, the healed wound. He's calling us to the love and forgiveness that comes beyond the wounds. And that is where the grace of God, what we call the divine mercy, God's love and mercy, that heals and brings healing to all wounds. Now, we have to be careful here because it sounds so wonderful, but when you're in the middle of that woundedness, that brokenness, it's not so wonderful. It doesn't feel so grace-filled when we're full of pain and frustration and maybe even lots of anger and result of it. But we have to learn to cooperate with the divine mercy. We have to learn to allow it to happen and work with it. That's all great theology, and it sounds wonderful, but what does it look like in practice? Let me give you a simple sort of like almost benign example. I recently whacked my hand off a shelf, and I got a cut. And just the darn thing will not stop bleeding. And it keeps on every time I seem to hit it over and over again. Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, well, maybe I might put a Band-Aid on it. It might help, right? You think it's so straightforward, but when you've got to take care of it. It's just a simple cut, but unless I take care of it, I'm going to keep on rewounding it to the ordinary aspect of my daily life. Why? Because it's right there in the surface of my hand. And so if I'm willing to care for it, allow it to heal, give it the space to heal, put a bandage on it, take a little bit of caution around it so I don't keep hitting it, then it will heal. It will heal. And then I'll be fine. Now that, if that's what I need to do with just a simple cut on my finger, then how much more do we need to take care of ourselves when we are wounded? And to allow God's grace to heal us, God's mercy to flow through us and over us and to bring us healing. Again, it sounds really simple, but sometimes self-care is really hard to do. Because it allows us that we have to admit that we need to care, number one. Number two is that we have to allow God to help us and allow others to help us. Because God's care comes through each other. And that when that healing starts to come, then we start to feel the balm of the healing and we feel strength through, in and through the wound, in and through the pain, in and through the hurt. That's the process. And the process is we need to cooperate with that in our own life. Whether these are physical, emotional, or spiritual wounds, we have to cooperate with God's grace, God's divine mercy, which he promises, because he promises that he has the last word. And his last word in our life is mercy, his love, which overwhelms all pain and suffering. And it doesn't feel like that in the middle of it, but that's the grace. Now, and that's what we hear about in today's gospel, is that this is what we're called, and he calls it peace, a peace I give you. Now, you can imagine the chaos that would have taken place. They were running for their lives. They were hiding in a locked room, and Jesus comes in their midst, and he doesn't scold them. He doesn't break them down or berate them. He gives them a simple message of love by saying, peace be with you. You can see how powerful it was. It performed right there. He commanded them to be peaceful. You could almost feel the healing that took over their hearts. We're called to be part of that healing. We're called to allow those words into our heart to feel the healing for us. But here's what's important. That's not where it stops. Because we come here each Sunday to receive that healing for ourselves, yes. And super important that we do it. We have to admit that we need it for ourselves. But we also need to be part of the movement that he gives it to others. We are called to share that divine mercy, that loving, healing power with others. Henry Nouwen has a beautiful phrase for this. It's sort of an archetype. It's called like the wounded healer, right? You cannot give what you don't have. So we have to first feel the healing, and then we have to be willing to pass that healing on to others by how we are tender and kind and loving to others, especially sometimes to those who are not good at taking care of their own wounds, who are not willing to give some self-care. That's where we play the role so that we can bring healing in their life. We bring them hope that no one else can bring them, that there is life beyond the wound, that there is healing beyond the wound, whatever that wound is. So today, let us receive the healing balm of God's divine mercy, his love, to heal our wounds, and to take care, to give some self-care to ourselves. But also let us be willing to be witnesses to this, to the world. Let us be part of the command to love one another, to pass on the divine mercy to all who are in need, especially those who do not even know that they need it. Let us spread the divine mercy to all this day.